This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Stories lined up for today. We'll be kicking off very shortly about Air France and their airline for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more about that a little bit later on. Of course, we do have a semi-token millennial in the studio, with us, although he doesn't want to admit it, but Arvind belongs to that subcategory of our genus. Okay, and then we have another story about how CBS Showtime have been caught doing something a little bit naughty. Then moving on to another CBS-related story, but a bit more, you know,
positive,
positive about Star Trek. And then a story coming out of China about how they blocked a very popular messaging platform. And finally, Arvind will be regaling us with one of Snapchat's new features. I never thought I'd be saying that all together in one sentence. But here
we go. Snapchat.
You're embracing it today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, then. Majida, tell me more about this this thing that Air France are doing right
now. So back in July this year, Air France announced that they were going to launch an airline specifically targeting millennials.
I think we did a little
piece
on it.
We did speak about it, a few months ago. Well, today, Air France has shared the details of June, which will offer young folks various lifestyle innovations like surprise destinations, Airbnb-like experiences, and VR headsets for in-flight entertainment.
I'm not entirely sure that's a great idea. Sorry about the turbulence, everybody. You know, just enjoy your roller coaster ride.
So there's a release from June Air, and they said that that flyers will get a taste of boutique lifestyle because June isn't just another airline. They are a fashion brand, a rooftop bar, an entertainment channel, and a personal assistant.
What?
Right.
They're so needy, these people. VR, a rooftop bar?
Yeah, so the flight itself will feature a rooftop bar because it will offer some food. Obviously, the food is 20% organic.
Of course.
The bar is not on the roof of the aircraft itself, but the plane itself will fly above all roofs.
She's been working on
I'm reading this off the article because I couldn't imagine how I would put
pun.
It, right?
Right. Okay, here's the setup. There we go.
The aircraft flies above the roofs, it's a rooftop bar.
Wait, is that what it actually says?
Yeah, that's what it says.
In the brief.
Can we have a very stern word with the marketing department, please, somebody?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
They're also having this virtual reality headset, which will be designed by AlloMind. It's being positioned as a lightweight personal theater, features 280p micro OLED displays working in tandem with I'm reading here to give the illusion that you're watching a 10-foot screen, and if you have a travel companion with you can sync the feeds and watch simultaneously.
Oh, so sweet. We all know millennials travel alone anyway, you know.
So, lonely backpackers
going
on.
I'm sorry, guys.
You're watching you're already nauseous as it is on an aircraft. Let's put a VR headset on.
I see that point. But then let's flip it around a little bit and imagine you are an elderly passenger who, then again, you wouldn't be taking a millennial flight. But bear with me. Mm. Imagine you're an elderly passenger and you want to feel relaxed. You could put a headset on that maybe you're swimming with a tropical fish, or you're exploring.
Or you're afraid of flying, right?
Exactly. So you put that on and then you're in this entirely different world anyway. So maybe that has some positive connotations, I guess.
Could be.
Yeah. It's a business idea for some developers, surely. Mm.
Is there anything about leg space? Because if that's
no
mention
of that here. But finally, they also said that they will also feature a personal assistant because they will offer you a rent an option where you can rent out your car to strangers while you're gone on travel car. It also gives tourism advice from Airbnb operators. And if you want, you can be forced to travel to a random destination through Winerbox.
Forced to travel?
Yeah, they have this option where they've partnered up with Winerbox and you can be forced to travel to a random destination for 150 euros. They'll give you you don't know where you want to go, you just put it there and they will...
It's
fly you where they want to go.
For 150 euros.
Euros, yeah.
I'll give you a tip, folks, to save some money. Go to the airport, take some money in your pocket, look at the departures, find out which is leaving in the next hour, 2 hours. If you've got plenty of time, just buy a ticket.
Mm.
Save you 150 euros there. Way.
And finally here, if you cannot afford your airfare, there is also a feature here that will help you crowdfund your airfare.
Of course.
Through paper plane, which is a service which has not debuted yet, but that's what the service wants to help you do. Crowdfund your FM.
Can we crowdfund my journey back home for Christmas? That would be really nice.
I was going to say, like, I want to go to Hawaii.
Everyone's
going to
sign up right on this,
right? Of course.
Right?
Okay, a good story, interesting stuff. Sorry, millennials, it's a bad idea. This. Yeah. The one thing that I think is positive about that is the headset. I think it's a great idea, but marketing an entire airline to millennials, it's a really bad idea.
Yeah. And even then, even the headset, if I asked about leg space, because if you give me the same leg space, then no amount of like me going underwater and like seeing the sharks is going to work when I cannot move my legs.
Unless the what you're watching on the VR is like, you know, confinement, like straitjacket thing, then you're...
Like claustrophobia in virtual reality. Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that on an airplane. Yeah, come on. Yeah. All right. So moving on to our second story. If you want to get in touch about that one, do get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Of course, we are on Twitter as well, at BFM Radio. Quick mention now. It's a very quick story about something we covered last week about for some visitors of the Pirate Bay, they noticed that their CPU was getting a bit faster and it was doing things that wasn't expected. And it turned out that there was a piece of code injected into the Pirate Bay website, which sneakily was mining for crypto coins without your permission.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has been discovered that of all websites, CBS Showtime had a very similar piece of code injected into their website. So you would visit their website, and of course you would have it open in your browser because you need it open to stream the movie or the TV show that you want to watch. Mm-hmm. And during the time that it's streaming, it would be mining for cryptocurrency without your permission yet again.
Whoa.
Now, it was only up very briefly, and CBS, of course, have said, this is not our fault. We know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
The developers are also saying, we're not entirely sure what's going on. The web developers, of course, have kept quiet. But the thing is, when it's traced back, the actual email address that refers back to this little piece of code is a personal email address. So it's very likely that someone somehow managed to inject this at a very small, you know, further down the food chain, as it were, before it was released, you know. And it disappeared after 24 hours. So it's clearly somebody who knows what they're doing. Very interesting stuff, though. It just shows you how easy it is for somebody to do this to, you know, a big player like CBS.
Yeah.
We've talked about all this stuff about keeping your software up to date, you know, your antivirus and all of this kind of stuff. Please do that. You know, we don't want a website suddenly going down because some crafty person is mining for cryptocurrencies.
But you will expect this from somebody outside, an intruder breaking in, but someone from your own chain does this for you. That one's really difficult to filter out.
Exactly, and they're saying it has to be somebody from inside rather than somebody from the outside.
Yeah, but then again, how do you know, like even if you have all your like your software updated and stuff, and then something comes in from CBS, you're going to allow CBS
to access
your PCs. Yeah. Because
that being said, though, Jeff was telling me just a few minutes before we came on air that his antivirus software actually flagged up and said, there is something in your Chrome browser that is mining for coins. Can I block it? So it can actually be that specific. You can allow the website through, but it will block that particular piece of code, that malicious code. So if you're up to date, you're safe. If you're not, get on it.
Yeah, and even if you have like antivirus software and stuff, just make sure it's updated.
Yeah.
And it's scanning you every single day, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Right, ladies and gents, we have to take a very short break. We've got music coming up from Fleet Foxes with Ragged Wood right now. When we come back, a positive story about CBS, so we're a bit of balance. It's about Star Trek as well. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Majida Hashim.
Arvind Yuvraj.
Right then. So we've had a story about Air France, their silly idea for a millennial airline with VR and a rooftop bar.
Yeah.
We then spoke about naughty CBS mining cryptocurrency without telling people about it. Apparently it's a bit of a blip. It was only there for 24 hours. Now we're going to talk about something positive from CBS, and it involves Star Trek.
Yeah.
One of my favorite topics.
So like anyone who's been following Star Trek Discovery, I think it debuted yesterday or a couple of days ago on CBS All Access. And then for everyone else around the world, we can get it on Netflix.
It's so nice of them.
Yeah. But the thing is, this a lot of people and a lot All Access itself is depending on Star Trek Discovery to do well, because it's like their only exclusive program. They had a couple of others before this, didn't do well. It was like so-so. Discovery is like their biggest bet to make people subscribe for All Access as a streaming service. The same way that Netflix did for itself when they released Stranger Things last year.
And HBO did for originally The Sopranos and then subsequently, of course, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones just shot that thing through the roof. So now they're saying that Star Trek Discovery, it's the first series since Star Trek Enterprise, which ended in 2005. And it's also it's serving the network's big bet on its over-the-top streaming service, like I said. And they actually came out and said that early numbers are promising. According to CBS, the show's launch has led to the highest sign-up day ever for CBS All Access, the streaming service that will be like its exclusive home in the US. The old record was held by the 2017 Grammy Awards. I think a lot of people signed up to watch that on the...
Seems odd.
Yeah. So I think in the case of the Grammy Awards, they signed up, they watched it, and then they just... opted out.
Right.
So it was like a 1 week thing. And this Discovery also helped CBS achieve its largest sign up week and month ever for CBS All Access.
Wow.
Yeah. Because of the show, they're even ahead of their schedule. They say that they can they can reach their target of about, I think, 8 million people by 2020, which is a bigger number than they anticipated before this. It's also their first big attempt at seducing cord cutters, so people who don't want to use their cable networks anymore.
Right.
This is All Access. It's their big play to make people switch from whatever cable provider they have onto their streaming service. And then they'll have additional other things like Netflix, and I think Disney's coming up with one next year also.
It's interesting, the tie-in with Netflix, though. Do you know a little bit more about that?
No, I think it's because we don't get CBS. I don't think we have CBS here at all.
I don't think we do, no.
Yeah, even on cable, even on...
But I mean, in places like, you know, Singapore and Japan, and assume places that also don't have CBS, the relationship between CBS and Netflix...
is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if we had All Access, then they wouldn't... then they just wouldn't have to do it. But I think they have some understanding with Netflix, which is good.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them working together to provide the content for everyone.
That we want.
Yeah, it also fights piracy, because we all know how people are going to watch it if it's not on Netflix.
Yep.
Now we have another reason to sign up. But why I wanted to highlight this is because it shows how these providers are starting to put a lot of money into their exclusive content. And it's not even small amounts. I think Netflix invested billions of dollars. I think a month ago we covered that story for their own original content. Amazon is doing the same thing. It shows how I think a lot of people want to see exclusive content and are willing to play that, you know, pay that small monthly subscription if they have a reason to do so. It makes you wonder if we had like local channels, like we have iFlix. We knew that they had funding like a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
We don't know if they are going to come up with their own exclusive content. Mm. But it shows that if there is exclusive content and if there's something that people want to watch, that they will actually subscribe for it.
Mm. I mean, that's a very good point. Mm-hmm. And if we're looking at, like you say, the amount of money that has been thrown at exclusive content, whether it be Netflix or CBS or Amazon even, the problem with somebody like iFlix is that they just don't have that the numbers to be able to invest that heavily in exclusive content. I mean, they had a big cash injection, as you know, like we just discussed. But I'd really like to see something that is fairly heavy budget, you know, really well produced, nice production values, something that's genuinely Malaysian.
That we can be really proud of.
That we
of,
can
right?
be really proud of, And I think a lot of the kind of production houses, I mean, I'm kind of glossing over this, you know, the attention to detail is just not there. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel, you know. Yeah. Something like Star Trek, you know it's something that's established. Mm-hmm. You know it's got an audience that's following. Same with Game of Thrones. We don't have anything that's Malaysian as such now that we can follow and go, you know, this is such a good show. We don't have people in the office talking about, oh, did you see yesterday's episode of such and such? They're talking about Game of Thrones. They're talking about Star Trek. They're talking about stuff that's created elsewhere.
And on Netflix and
stuff
like that.
And on Netflix, yeah.
Mm, yeah. Do you think that if we... just say we develop content that's not Malaysian, but we commissioned a Korean studio to make like an exclusive Korean drama. that's only available on like a Malaysian Singaporean streaming service.
Yeah.
How would that work?
That would work.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be inherently Malaysian. It just has to be something that Malaysians love to watch. And we have like a huge, huge like market that loves these like Korean series and stuff.
Even Cam Raslan will sit and watch Korean movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I was joking with him, you know, and he's telling me about this. And I'm like, Cam, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, he loves it.
Yeah.
He's signed up for some new...
There's a huge. I think it's the same reason that Astro provides so many like Korean shows and stuff on their I think they have a full channel dedicated to it. So if we did stuff like that, but I mean it's good proof that what Netflix is doing and what All Access is doing, what Disney is going to be doing, Hulu is doing the same thing, Amazon. It's a shift from the traditional way of buying content from other people and putting it on your platform,
right?
And just versus just making your own content. And very soon, Netflix says that it will have more original content than it does other people's content. So they will just stop buying things from like Disney, and Disney's pulling out anyway. So they'll just stop paying Disney and Warner and Fox for their content, and they'll just start making their own thing. And soon you'll have a catalog full of their own content that you wouldn't even need those other things on their platforms.
I'm loving the fact though that Michelle Yeoh is the lead character of Star Trek. And I don't know if you've seen it, but going around the internet right now, there's a photograph of a scene from when she's in her cabin, and behind her is an image of a wine coolit in the back. And I'm just like, it's just these little kind of nods to her heritage that I think is really nice. Yeah. And you were saying that she was quite strong in the fact that she wanted to keep her accent.
Yeah, I think they told her to change her accent a bit, but she said no because it's inherently Malaysian and she wanted to keep the Malaysian accent. And she speaks like Michelle Yeoh speaks on the show. So she refused to change the way she speaks, and I think that's pretty good because it shows that Star Trek is a show that's always been inclusive of everyone, and I think it's important that she stuck to her to her wants. You know?
Yeah,
great. It just goes back to what we were speaking about, what we want something to be proud of as Malaysians.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I was thinking just in what Arvin was talking to me. I'm like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
It's smart. Michelle Yeoh, she's Malaysian. Mm. They've done it on Netflix here in Malaysia. It is a smart move, thinking about
And plus the wayang kulit thing is just, you
it's
know.
It's great.
Yeah. And you were also saying that there's like Klingon subtitles.
Yeah, so if you're outside US, you can actually change the subtitles and you can read it in Klingon.
Can anybody read Klingon?
There is actually a growing...
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there's a growing group of people who are learning Klingon language. There are conventions for these people and they are speaking Klingon.
Arvin's laughing, you know. He's laughing at these people. They study hard,
That's
Arvin.
Because he doesn't speak Klingon.
I'm with the Dothraki speakers.
All right.
Right. Yeah, but they're there and it's with every punctuation thing and all. So you can actually practice your Klingon on this show itself.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Good way to learn a new
pick up a new language.
Indeed, indeed. Right, let's take a very short break. We'll have a little bit of the Beatles, something from Dire Straits, and then we'll be right back with stories around a popular messaging service in China that has been blocked. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Do not go anywhere. You're listening to BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Bole Fikir Mandalam, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury.
Arvind Yuvraj.
And Majid Hashim.
Still with you for another 20 minutes or so. We've had stories so far about Air France, CBS Showtime, two stories, in fact, one of them about crypto coins and mining via their website. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. It led to record signups for CBS's streaming service. Mm-hmm. It's a story about WhatsApp. So over the past few months, WhatsApp has experienced a brief disruption to services in China with users unable to send video chats or photos. Now, even text messages are completely blocked, according to a company called Symbolic Software. They're a Paris-based research firm that also monitors digital censorship in China. Little quote here from this guy called Nadim Kobesi, who says, essentially, it seems that we initially monitored as censorship of WhatsApp's videos, voice notes, and photos. This happened in July. It's now evolved to what appears to be a consistent text messaging blocking and throttling across China. So they found that China may have recently upgraded its firewall to detect and block the noise socket protocol that WhatsApp uses to send text, in addition to already blocking the HTTPS that WhatsApp uses to send photos and videos. it's time for the Chinese firewall to adapt to this new protocol so that it could easily target other text messages. The move is a bit of a blow, as we know, to Facebook, which has been banned in China since 2009. Of course, they own WhatsApp. So with the blocking of WhatsApp, Facebook's only remaining stake in China is the colorful balloons app that it stealthily released last month or so. So this heightened censorship coincides with the upcoming 19th National Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. I can tell you from experience, when that thing happens, everything gets shut down. You know, it's kind of crazy. Now, you can get around, I messaged a few of my friends via WeChat, ironically, in China to find out if WhatsApp is in fact blocked, and it is. But they have found their ways around it using various methods, VPN being one of them. But when you look at how many users WeChat has, for example, they have 963 million users, which we think is a great, you know, is a huge number. WhatsApp has 1 billion users. So these numbers are fairly close. But then if you look at the amount of people within China who use WeChat, losing WhatsApp for them is not really a big deal. It's mainly for us, you know, and for people over here that it's a big issue getting in touch with our friends using WhatsApp.
It's like if we lost WeChat. It's the same thing.
It's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's interesting, though. But WhatsApp have refused to comment, of course. We'll just have to wait and see what comes out of this.
So is this like a permanent thing? Or
that's the thing. Normally with the NCCPC, what happens is that all these blockages kind of slowly go away over the weeks following the event. But I don't know. I mean, to be honest, it's very likely that this could be a permanent thing. I mean, they're blocking cryptocurrency kind of exchanges. They're stopping ICOs. They're coming down quite heavy on anything in any way of kind of outside communication right now.
You're going after VPN, actually.
They're
also
going after VPNs, too.
So that could be even more limiting for WhatsApp.
They've been after VPNs for a long time.
The thing about VPN is a bit weird, because if you try to VPN, not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but if you try to VPN Netflix, it knows that you're using a VPN.
It does.
If you want to access their larger catalogs, it knows that you're accessing it through a point which it doesn't recognize. So I don't know why. I'm not saying they should, but I don't know why other people just don't block. Like, if they want to block WhatsApp, why don't they just block it the same way Netflix blocks everyone else through VPN? You know?
So, and this is always the kind of debate with the Great Firewall of China. They are aware that these things happen. And for some reason, unbeknownst to us, they choose not to block these pieces of software. It's not that that VPN is illegal in China. You're just discouraged from using it very strongly. I mean, and the way in which they do it, I don't know if I've told you this before, but if you want to, let's say, for example, you want to buy a VPN whilst you're living in China, what you do is you go to the VPN website, you go through all of the process of signing up, blah, 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 you put in your credit card details, and then you hit the purchase button, and the website just closes. So you haven't actually purchased the VPN. You're kind of led along like a horse to water, but then at the final instance, it's cancelled. So that's how they've kind of got around people buying them. So what a lot of people, expats, are doing is visiting places like Hong Kong and Singapore or whatever, getting the VPN from there, or getting their friends to send them the codes, and they can do it outside.
But before that website closed, it already knows that you are trying to go and get access to it.
Correct,
and it's captured all your information.
It's captured everything, And that's the big difference between WhatsApp and WeChat. Is WhatsApp, as we know, is end-to-end encryption, which the Chinese government are incredibly fearful of, whereas WeChat gives all of your information to the Chinese government. Anything involved with Tencent or anything like that, that's what's given to them, you know. And you sign up for that in the kind of small print. WhatsApp, though, that's the reason why, right? Okay, time for a short break. Two more songs coming up. We've got a bit of The Long Pigs with She Said, some Devendra Banhart coming up with Can't Help But Smiling, and then after that, our final story of the day. Millennials will take to the stage, or to the skies, in fact, when Arvin tells us all about their new filter. This is, I can't believe we're talking about this.
Yeah, but we are. Because
you better have a business angle for it. Right, it's time for a short break. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.
Brewing Financial Minds. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, joined in the studio by
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvraj.
Come on then, Arvin. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting the entire show Snapchat. To get to this story. Tell me all about this new feature that Snapchat are offering.
Yeah, so as if... As
wait,
if...
I just need to make sure that I just actually said that. You know? Yeah, I did. Okay, carry on.
You're so eager to know.
I'm so
that,
eager.
That yeah. Arvin yeah. and Snapchat appeared in the same sentence right. together, yeah, right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't even think he has it on his phone.
To be fair, I do have it on my phone. The only reason
confession.
I got it... Yeah, I got it because Game of Thrones was running like a special thing before the series.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I want to get those to see how the blue eye thing works.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah,
the steely eye.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've uninstalled it. I don't have it anymore. I'm not sure. But yeah, Snapchat. They say that they are going to come up with this new feature. It's actually being rolled out today. That lets you fake sunsets on your pictures.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can point your phone. You turn on Snapchat. You point it at any anything that has a sky in it, and Snapchat will add a sunset or a night sky. Or a blue sky with clouds. I think there's four different filters that they will add to it, just so you can fake your pictures.
So we have fake news.
Yeah.
We have fake this, photos. That, and the other. And now we have fake photos. Well, we've always had fake photos, but now we have fake sunsets.
Yeah. I mean, I use Instagram, and, you know, I like posting pictures there, but it's, you know, the pictures are highly filtered.
Right.
Everyone's is.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that when you take the pictures in the restaurants and stuff. No one's food looks like that. So,
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So, but that's one level of editing your photos, and people have edited photos, like, forever. You see it in, like, magazines and Nat Geo magazines. Everyone edits their pictures to look good. On
of print. Course, yeah.
But faking pictures is now you're on the level of Photoshop,
right?
And you know, it's not something that you actually took.
There is actually a mobile version of Photoshop for those of you that are interested in heavily editing.
Oh, all kinds of photo editing apps on the on phone.
But I think the difference with Photoshop and Snapchat is that for Photoshop you actually need a bit of talent. You actually need to know how to use the software first, and not just like point and shoot. No, but I know Snapchat is fun, and a lot of people use it for different things, and they had like that dancing hot dog, I think, last month.
They did,
and then
before that
they have like they have weird AR things that they can put in your pictures and stuff. The reason they say they're doing this is because they're working more towards AR. Their AR initiative. So they want to do this whole augmented reality thing. This is just another step in their process.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's their way of fighting Facebook and what they are doing. Because we all know how Facebook steals from Snapchat, and Snapchat tries to... Snapchat hasn't actually stolen anything from Facebook.
I don't think they have. No.
But Instagram and WhatsApp and Facebook have pretty much stolen most of Snapchat's mechanisms.
Allegedly.
Yes. Yeah. But what Snapchat is doing is they want to focus on AR more now, because that's something that the others are not doing as much. That's why they're implementing things like this into their photos. I guess it's smart on their part, because I can see a lot of people taking mundane, like, boring pictures of nothing.
And really exciting.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's night, or you have a sunset and stuff, and no one knows. I mean, you see it on your phone and you can't tell.
We're going to have to play around with this a little bit later on. Once we figure out how to do it, we're going to need a millennial to help us figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I think we might know.
I think we might know one.
The thing about this is that we already have bloggers and all these Instagrammers who are already accused of fake travel photos and faking all these kind of photos. This is just another tool. Now everyone can be a fake photographer.
But the thing is, everybody will have the same night sky and everybody will have the same sunset. So it's going to be pretty obvious.
The same kind of clouds, the same kind of moon, wherever it is, right?
No, that'll be interesting to see. You think they'll have like different kinds of sunsets?
Don't know.
Maybe they keep updating their albums
and
stuff.
Maybe they will.
So if we see Instagram and Snapchat suddenly flooded with photos of sunsets and night skies right now.
We know. Right, that's time for us to wrap up. Let's quickly run through the stories that we covered for today. In case you missed any part of the show, do download the app from the Apple App Store and, of course, from the Google Play Store. You can listen back to it a little bit later on in the day. Majida. Mm-hmm.
So I started with a story on Air France, how they are creating this airline for millennials, which promises VR and a rooftop bar.
Which isn't actually a rooftop bar.
It flies above the roofs of the houses, so it's a
such
rooftop
a bad
bar.
Pun. Such a bad pun. We then moved on to how CBS's Showtime was caught mining crypto coins in viewers' web browsers. The question of who plays the JavaScript code on to primetime.coms so far is a mystery.
Mm-hmm. And then we also spoke about about CBS again and how their streaming service All Access has a record number of signups because of Star Trek Discovery.
Indeed, and then we moved on to tell you about how China have blocked thoroughly WhatsApp. We don't know if this is a permanent thing or is just temporary because of the CPNCCPCPCC, the National Chinese Communist Party Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, we finish off with...
Snapchat's news feature, which lets you fake sunsets for your pictures.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty much from us. But do not go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill replay. Mm-hmm. We have Dato Dennis Chua, who's the executive director of Ek Limo, Sendirian Bahad. The electric revolution is set to transform the global automotive industry. Companies like Volvo, Ford and Mazda are embarking on the path set by Tesla in producing electric vehicles. EVs. In Malaysia, Ek Limo is ahead of the game as the only local company producing electric motorcycles. The Morning Run spoke with Executive Director Dato Dennis Chua on the changing landscape of the auto industry and the prospects for the EV market here in Malaysia. That's it. We will be back tomorrow, of course, same time, same place here at noon in these studios. From Enterprise Biz Bytes, on behalf of Majida Hashim, Arvind Yuvaraj, myself, Richard Bradbury, I bid you good afternoon. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.